up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, good morning, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Well, we're going to get to the AFC and the NFC Championship games. We'll continue to process that, continue to think about how we are going to vision these games, the freezing temperatures in Kansas City, the Dome Stadium in New Orleans with two high-powered offenses. I want to start, though, in the NBA. There is a city in America that has been playing in the NBA, that has been playing under the radar, even though they have had success after success after success, and that is Denver. And last night they had a game against Golden State, and for the first time in a long time, that city had a regular season game that was very, very meaningful. I remember when I got to Denver in the early 2000s, the team was a disaster. They were a mess. They were no good. Juwan Howard was giving away tickets if you brought winter coats to the game, so he could give it to the underprivileged around the city. They drafted Carmelo Anthony. They started making the playoffs, but they would lose in the first round. And now they've got this basketball team in which most Americans couldn't name two players on the team. Heck, most couldn't name one. Nikola Jokic is a budding star, but still relatively unknown in the league. And last night they were hosting Golden State. Now look, January NBA games, we're really talking about entertainment. We're not really talking about positioning and movements up and down the standings quite yet. But most of the time when I watch an NBA game, it's just for entertainment, to see the players do what they do best. So last night, this Warriors-Nuggets game was on my radar because the city of Denver was really into this and really wanted to sort of prove a point. It was the biggest regular season game in a long time for that organization. And what happened? Well, Denver, who sat on top of the Western Conference and been on top of the Western Conference for a long time, they got throttled. I mean, absolutely throttled by Golden State. This is the king is dead, long live the king. But if the king is dead, you better make sure the king is dead. The Warriors scored 51 points in the first quarter. They hit 10 three-pointers in the first quarter, and they destroyed Denver. This Golden State team has had some problems this year, but when push comes to shove, if you're going to beat them 4 out of 7 times, you better hope for an injury, because healthy, no one's going to do it. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I opened with the Golden State Warriors playing Denver. It was one of the most important regular season games for the Nuggets. It was not like for positioning or anything. It was really for Denver. It was, all right, can we beat Golden State at home? We've been leading the Western Conference for a long period of time. Can we hold court? And they couldn't. They got bombarded by Golden State. It's just hard in the regular season to get a handle on what you can do against teams in the postseason. It really is. I mean, when you play 7 games and you've got to win 4 and everybody's making adjustments, it's very hard to do. One game doesn't really mean anything. It doesn't really move the needle. But Golden State made a point, right? Like they made this point. Denver, the city was riled up to face the Warriors, and Steph Curry made a point that his team needed to get off to a hot start, and 51 points in 12 minutes is a really hot start. It's not a hot start. It is like call the fire department because everybody evacuate the building hot start. I mean, 10 three-pointers in the first quarter. He had 31, Klay Thompson had 31, and the Nuggets got blown out of their own place. A weird night for the association last night in terms of scoring. Like the Pacers put up 131 points in regulation. The Sixers had 149 in regulation in a Jimmy Butler victory over the Minnesota Timberwolves. Joel Embiid at 31. The Atlanta Hawks, who stink, they beat the Oklahoma City Thunder at 142. They had all 5 starters in double figures. I don't know what was in the water last night in the National Basketball Association. Giannis Giannis Antetokounmpo in Milwaukee 124-86. The scoring was outrageous last night in the NBA. So yeah, it was a fun night in the league. But I go back to what I was saying earlier. A lot of times, again, the Nuggets are a weird team. They're a team trying to win without a legit huge superstar. They've got one. I think they have one in Nikola Jokic. And listen, but you have to be a basketball person to know who Nikola Jokic is. You have to be an NBA guy to know who he is. Casual fans have heard of Russell Westbrook. Casual fans have heard of Steph Curry. Everybody knows who LeBron James is. You don't even have to like basketball to know who LeBron James is. Nikola Jokic is a kind of a company star, right? He's a guy you know because you know the league and you follow the league. And maybe you play fantasy basketball or you watch the NBA season pass. He's not a guy you know because he's just floating out there in pop culture and in casual conversations. So the Nuggets don't have that sort of the James Harden-like superstar, but they have a very good basketball team. Jamal Murray plays really well. Gary Harris plays well when he's healthy, right? They've got Malik Beasley that's scoring a lot of points for them. They're getting a lot of different production from a lot of different people, and that sounds really good. The problem is that, again, in a seven-game series, are they a championship-level team? Denver likes to think they are a championship-level team, but I can't see them beating a team like Golden State or Houston, for that matter, when they're finally healthy in seven games. To win four out of seven against teams that are really super talented, right? That have just can turn on that switch. That's no joke. Like what Golden State did last night, the Nuggets, was no joke. This is a team that when you go through the rigmarole of a regular season, where you don't even know what city you're in half the time when you're on the road, right? Where you're just going up and down, just trying to stay healthy, just trying to keep the machine moving along. Some nights you play good, some nights you don't play good. And when you don't play good, you just kind of mail it in and move on to the next night. When you get to the playoffs, you don't do that, right? When you get to the playoffs, everything, the benches are shorter, everything's on the table, every game's important. They dialed in one of their best victories of the season against a team and a city that was waiting for them to prove a larger point. Had Golden State lost that game last night, it would have signified nothing, absolutely nothing. It would have meant nothing in terms of where the Golden State Warriors are as an organization, as a team. Denver would not become the big threat in the Western Conference to win it all. None of that was on the table last night. None. What was on the table was just pride. We are in first place. People don't think we belong in first place. I don't know how we're in first place, but wouldn't it be nice to beat the team at home, especially against the team everybody knows should be in first place? And that didn't happen for them. Not only did it didn't happen for them, they got blown out of their own gym. So again, these regular season games are entertainment purposes. One of the reasons I brought up the scoring in all the games last night was if you had nothing to do and college basketball wasn't your fancy and you were looking for some sports, the NBA gave you some fun games to watch, right? And I don't mean fun from the standpoint of if you were on the losing end of these games, because if you're an Oklahoma City Thunder fan, you don't lose to Atlanta. I don't care where that game is played. Atlanta stinks. But at the same time, look, it's fun to watch teams score 149 points, 131, 142. At least the scoring is there. So again, a good night for basketball, but not good if you're on the losing end of things, especially if you're in Denver, because I'm sure it's a little, you feel a little bit taken that, man, this was as big of a regular season game as we could muster, and it reminds me of baseball series, like in the middle of the summer when they say, oh, this is a really important series. It's not an important series. It's an important series for maybe some sort of extra level of pride or extra level of motivation. But in the end, like a regular season series in July is not an important series. NBA regular season games are not important.
No, right? But what it did show us yesterday is just how potent the Warriors can be.
Unbelievable. You know, unbelievable.
As soon as they want to, I mean, you know, Denver this year has kind of been like the Chargers all season. There's this team out west that's just winning a bunch of games. No one knows anybody on that team. I mean, still, I mean, we're getting better at it, but I couldn't name three starters.
Oh, no
on
kidding.
The team.
No, and I don't blame people. I honestly don't blame people. They're not on TV a lot. None of their players are selling you razors or whatever it is. You know, none of them are on TV doing other things. They're just a quiet basketball team.
No, what they remind me of, what Denver reminds me of is the Cleveland Indians in the movie Major League.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You might not have heard of us, but we're a professional professional basketball team.
Exactly. And they happened to be a professional basketball team that was in first place, and everyone was kind of scratching their head like, how is this happening? And when do they give it up to Golden State or the Rockets or Oklahoma City or whoever is supposed to be there?
Right? But I mean, but as soon as the Warriors show up to them, and you're like, you know what? Warriors like, you know what? We can play tonight.
Yeah, and it's,
and that's why you can't count the Warriors out. I mean, it doesn't matter how bad the regular season is. They could squeak by and make it into the playoffs. I know it's not going to happen, but they could. What if the Warriors were the eighth seed? They would just run the table, because then at that point they would say, okay, we're in the playoffs now. Now the season starts for us.
Yeah, you know, when we talk about Super Bowl hangovers, you know, like we see teams that win Super Bowls and then they're off to slow starts, right? You know, a lot of times people talk about
it. Or if you're in the NFC, you just make the Super Bowl the following year. It's like, oh my God, I don't know if you can make it back to the playoffs.
A lot of people talk about that. And you know, you talk about, why does that occur, right? Why is there a Super Bowl hangover? And what it is, players want to get to. It's like, I don't know, it's like a high, right? Like you want what was really, really good, right? And the regular season just doesn't cut it. The excitement of a tournament, the excitement of winning games and having your back to the wall, and that run that you made where everything was important and everything mattered and every little detail had to be covered. And that's why you won. And when you won it all, you want to get back to that. Like you want that in your sporting life. You want that back again, and you just want to get there as quickly as possible, so you end up struggling a bit during the regular season because, oh well, we get to play again tomorrow, oh we get to go back to practice, we lost, but there's another day. When you just had a tournament where there wasn't going to be a tomorrow, everything had to be perfect, and you did it. The NBA is no different than that. Guys want to get to the playoffs. They just want to get to the postseason, and they want to get to the postseason healthy. So when we see the Warriors dip a bit, struggle a bit, you know, we're seeing that with Houston. Remember, Houston struggled and struggled and struggled and found a rhythm. Now they're hurt and James Harden's carrying the load, right? Guys just want to get me to where it matters. Get me to where it's important.
Yeah, it's almost as if they're treating the regular season as a preseason.
Yeah, exactly.
Just kind of fine tuning things, you know, tweaking a thing here or there. You know, I mean, we had it was earlier this year. We had a Durant, Draymond Green squabble. Do you think that's going to be there when the playoffs start? No,
not at all. Not at all. And so watching the game, seeing the Warriors, what they did in the first quarter, it's just a reminder when they think it's important, when they think a game is really important, or they feel like maybe we should really show up and really, they can really pour it on. I mean, Curry talked about this at the beginning of the game. This is it's not an easy place to play, Denver. The altitude gets to you. If you can get on a run and you can get hot, stay there. And they did. And it was impressive. It really was mind-boggling impressive. It was that good. It was that good last night. And it just goes to show you that, you know, hey, look, when we get to the playoffs, this is the team to beat. We knew that going in. People kind of fooled themselves wondering how vulnerable they are. But when you have to beat them 4 out of 7 times, I can't imagine the Nuggets beating them 4 out of 7.
No, not at all.
I can't at all picture. And again, this is not to take away from the Nuggets. I know many of you have no idea, have never seen them play 1 second of basketball. I get it. I absolutely get it. They're a good team. They're fundamentally sound. They play team basketball. There are different guys leading that team and scoring every night. Here's the problem with that. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. We talk all the time about team and playing for the front of the jersey. Sometimes you need a James Harden that says, I got it. I got this. I got 57 tonight. All right. You're sitting down with a broken thumb. You've got a busted hamstring. You got a pulled ACL, whatever it is. Don't worry. I got it. Right. I'm taking over. The Nuggets, they have different guys that will do it every single night. They don't have the go-to guy. And I don't know. So I don't know if that's a good thing or not. But I do know this. When the Warriors hit shots from the outside, Curry was taking like near half-court shots last night.
Well, that's his thing. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Like with the Nuggets, you know, any one guy could show up and lead the team. And it reminds me of like small ball baseball. Where, you know, you don't have the power hitter. Like when the Kansas City Royals won their World Series, you didn't really have an outstanding player. You just had a collection of guys who grinded every single night. And that's what the Nuggets are.
Yeah.
The problem is with the rest of the NBA, the Warriors have the same thing, except their grinders are all superstars.
Superstars. It's crazy.
And so you have like, you know, if Curry says, I'm only going to take like, you know, 20 half court shots. So Durant's like, oh, no, I got it. Then how do you compete against that?
You can't. So that was my morning rant this morning because, boy, I just was impressed. I was really impressed. All right, we'll get to the NFL because the AFC and NFC championship games coming up this weekend. The Arctic cold. What does this mean for the game against the Chiefs and Patriots? We'll hit that next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Hi, glad you could join us here on SB Nation AM as we cruise along on a Wednesday, getting closer to the championship weekend. Oh, man, I tell you.
It's going to be a really good two games, man.
I really think so. Hey, when it gets cold out there, your vehicle needs some extra attention. O'Reilly Auto Parts has everything you need to keep your vehicle toasty warm, from choosing the right antifreeze for your engine to replacing your windshield wiper blades. O'Reilly will get your vehicles in fighting shape in the cold weather ahead. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
So you're talking specifically to Kansas City.
Yeah, Kansas City. You guys, it's going to be really cold. You guys know this. It's going
to
be really
all
cold.
The cold weather treatment. Go to O'Reilly's to find out all the cold weather treatment.
We had a in our interview yesterday with Blair Kirkhoff of the Kansas City Star, he made a really good point, which I want to reemphasize, that the weather that is coming in, that it is not snow, it's not freezing rain, it's just cold air, right? And that's different, right? A lot of times when you get snow, it's not minus 15 degrees, right? You get snow and sometimes it's like 30, right? This is a blast of cold air that's going to settle in the area, and everything is going to be cold and everything is going to be frozen. Everything. It's going to be, it's a little different, and there may not be a lot of wind. I don't know what the wind is supposed to do. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Well, it's going to be in the minus area.
Yeah. That's all I've heard about I don't think the wind's going to be whipping. I don't think it's gonna be like Chicago wind.
I don't think this is a storm. I think this is just a cold front settling in. I could be wrong. No, I'm not a weather guy.
You're exactly right. There's no real storm. I think it's supposed to be clear skies.
Yeah. And it's just very frigid.
Very, very frigid. I mean, it's like Green Bay temperatures.
Now, if you are in those kind of weather, the high flying fun of the Kansas City Chiefs, that's going to go down. I don't care how good Patrick Mahomes is. That's going to be a factor. That's going to be affected. It's hard to catch a ball when it's that cold. It's hard to throw a ball when it's that cold. But it's also hard for the defense too. I mean, there's going to be running around and all that stuff. But
tackles hurt.
Tackles hurt everything.
Hurt more. You don't really everything. I mean, you're frozen and everything feels like a gigantic rock to you.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to try to lay someone out.
This is going to affect the Chiefs. But I don't know how much it affects the Patriots, because I think the Patriots will run their offense a different way. But I think Kansas City is an adjustable team. Andy Reid is no dummy. I mean, he knows what has worked and he knows how to get through something like this and get Mahomes maybe smaller passes, shorter passes, check down passes, move the chains. Not this, we're not going to throw it 50 yards down the field. That's really hard to do.
Or probably he'll probably just want to try to do like a quick little slant route to Hill.
Yeah,
and say Hill, let's try to create a hole for Hill so he can just run.
Yeah, and running game is
catch him.
No one's going to catch him, right? Especially in that kind of weather. The key is too I know this because the Patriots have played in these kind of cold weather games before. Kansas City is a cold weather city, but it's not. This is going to be abnormal. Like minus 15 degrees or whatever they're calling for is not normal, playing conditions at Arrowhead Stadium. But they've never played a game this late before in the season. So, I mean, who knows? But the Patriots have. They have played these playoff games before in Foxborough in freezing temperatures. What I'm interested to see is how many players on the Patriots are going to go sleeveless, right? Not bundled up by the heaters,
offensive
just
line.
Toughing it out, right? The whole offensive line toughing it out.
The whole offensive line is going sleeveless.
Yeah. So that's what I'm concerned about, because when you play the Patriots in Foxborough when it's cold, they make it a point to A, tell you that it's cold, and B, to show you that they're not affected by the cold. I know it's a stupid psychological game. I get it, but it seems to work. So that's kind of, I'm wondering how I remember the Broncos played a cold weather, really freezing weather playoff game against Baltimore years and years ago. The Ravens game where Flacco threw a late touchdown to tie the game and it went into double overtime. And a friend of mine who was covering the game was telling me, he said, we usually get called down to the field to do the on-field stuff and go to the locker room. And he goes, and I went down and I didn't, you know, it's the few final minutes. So I didn't bring a hat or gloves. And I stood on the sidelines, you know, ready to get my equipment. The Broncos were going to win the game. He goes, then Flacco hits the touchdown and we're going into overtime and double overtime. And I'm freezing to death and I can't go back up. Like they can't leave the area. So he goes, I'm freezing to death. He goes, it was absolutely frigid. He said he saw guys on the even on both sides just huddling around those heaters, just trying to keep warm. Like you would come off the field and they would just gravitate towards the heater and they would get bundled up as quickly, you know, as tight as they could to try to get the heat. And then when it was called to go back out, they'd go back out and it was the same thing. He goes, but there were a couple of guys, seriously, sleeveless, no, just standing around, not going near the heater, just not letting the cold affect them whatsoever. The Patriots are filled with those guys. Like the Patriots have a bunch of those guys. And I don't know if it matters, if it plays into it or not. I think this is going to be with the cold. I think the AFC title game, I still think this is going to be fantastic. I still think the Chiefs are going to find a way to do what they have to do.
No, this is what I guess this in a way, this is what we hope for. I know none of us really wanted a Patriots. We're all suffering from Patriots fatigue, but this is what we were hoping for. We wanted to see the top two teams. You want that every single year. I mean, even though you don't, you know, if your team is in it, like, you know, I had my Chargers in it. I would love to see my Chargers playing in this game. But at the end of the day, we want the two best teams from each conference playing each other. And that's what we have.
Yep.
You know, and that's why Saints and Rams in a controlled environment, get out of here, man. That's going to be fantastic.
Oh, now that game with no weather issues whatsoever should be great. That one, if that disappoints, I'm going to be let down.
Then you do your chores.
Yeah, if that's disappointing, if that's a low scoring or high or a route one way or the other, yeah, I'll be disappointed.
Away. I'm hoping for a Rams Chiefs, you know, matchup where it's, you know, the final score is 53-51. Right. It could have gone any way.
Oh yeah,
no
exactly.
Defense at all. We're playing Big 12 football in the
that's
conference
what I
championship.
Want. That's what I want. But Brady and Mahomes separated by the largest age gap in postseason history, 41 to 23.
Technically, Brady could be Mahomes' father, right?
I know. It's crazy. It's crazy, right? 18, right? What's the 18 is the difference, right? Yeah. 18 years. So, yeah, technically he could. But still, again, you're right. Patriots fatigue. I get it. But at the same time, every time they're in games like this, if you just pull your fandom away a little bit and just enjoy it for what it is, the competitive nature of football, these are two mastermind coaches and two excellent quarterbacks. This should still be a very, very good game. Not saying the Chargers Chiefs wouldn't have been awesome. I'm sure it would have been. But anytime the Patriots are thrown into this mix, and they have for eight straight and 13 times in Brady's career, they've been in the AFC title game, you are talking about the best quarterback ever, the best coach ever. The two have created an unbelievable dynasty. Take down the dynasty, right? I mean, you know, that storyline has always been there when it comes to Tom Brady and the Patriots. Even when they've gone in hurt, battered up in the AFC title game, and they put up a fight but lose like they did to the Broncos or they did to the Colts against when they lost at the RCA Dome back in the day, or maybe it was still Lucas Oil Stadium, I don't know. But when they lost in Indianapolis, they still put up a tremendous fight. They still are they're an unbelievable dragon to slay. Now Patrick Mahomes slays that. It's a big, huge check mark on a career that's fantastic.
That's why
season that's fantastic.
If the Chiefs are able to pull it out, that's why it almost feels like a Cowboys Niners from 1982 matchup, where you can almost sense like maybe there's a passing of the torch going on.
Maybe so. That's right. That's what I keep wondering if that happens. Like you get this feeling like Mahomes is here to stay, right? I talk to a lot of guys who and I ask them all the time about Mahomes. Like there's one thing to have a special season. It's another to see a trend in a quarterback that doesn't indicate sophomore slump or good 3 years and then fades off. Now, this kid's cerebral ability to read defenses, his ability to make throws, his confidence level indicates he'll be here for a while. And this could be a passing of the torch in one way, shape, or form. We'll talk a little bit more about Brady because I have one question I want to tackle next on SB Nation AM.
Are you wearing your hat too much to cover that hairline?
Well, yes, yes, I am.
Go to forhims.com/cheer for help. That's forhims.com/cheer. This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. You can also hit Ron up at Twitter at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Listen, I had a lot of fun a lot of times in my career is trying to knock the Brady monument down, right? I've done my fair share of Brady bashing over the years.
And rightly so. You're a Steelers fan.
And rightly so, right? I'm a Steelers fan, and he's burned my team more times than not. There is a point, though, and I think a lot of us, you do this early, right? Brady's the pretty boy. He's the young 25-year-old kid. He's winning yet another Super Bowl. He won 3 out of 4 very early in his career, and Bill Belichick is just this surly guy, and you know, so you can do a lot of this Patriot bashing, but then there becomes a point, as I grew older and I started realizing what I was seeing, that I sort of backed off a little bit and sort of said, listen, I'll do it for fun, but I will not do it as a real serious thing I believe, right? Which is that there's something amiss, like something I really dislike about this, because I'm seeing something I've never seen in the National Football League in all my years of watching it. I've never seen a dynasty like this. But I do wonder, and I look back at dynasties that have gone on in other sports. We like them, but we like them to a point, right? Like there was a time where Alabama football wasn't very good, right? Nick Saban came in the team started winning championships. And there was this good old feeling like Alabama football is back. And then after a while, we don't really want Alabama football to be back all the time, right? We do this with teams like the Yankees. We do this with teams like Notre Dame back in the day, right? Teams who win a lot and have continued success, we tend to bring them down a little bit. But I think with Brady, there's a little bit more to it. And my question about Brady, and if you're outside the New England area and you've watched this, maybe he's beaten your team in the postseason, or maybe he's beaten your team enough that you've developed this sort of animosity. I don't want to see, you know, Tom Brady. If Tom Brady was not tied to the hip with Bill Belichick, if he had done this with, let's say, 3 different coaches, would you feel the same way? If Tom Brady wasn't married to a Brazilian supermodel, would you feel differently? Like, let's say he married his high school sweetheart, a pretty girl, but just a kind of an ordinary girl from middle of nowhere, Texas. Would you feel the same way about him? If he was selling you motor oil, if he was selling you, doing funny ads like Peyton Manning, would you feel the same way about him? Right? Is there something about Brady that's beyond just he's on my TV all the time this time of year and I'm sick of it? Is there something more that where we look at Brady and we say, oh, I don't really like this guy anymore? Is it the Deflategate? Because I'll tell you right now, I get pushback on this all the time and have for years. I think Deflategate was nonsense. Absolute, utter nonsense. And I know there's some of you out there that think Deflategate is a big deal. It is a major deal. And it is something that you not going to get over. And a lot of it is because it's attached to Tom Brady. But you know deep down that if it was Andrew Luck, or if it was a regular season game, or if it was anything like that, you wouldn't feel the same way. The fact that it was attached to Brady, that Brady did it, that Brady had those balls deflated in that bathroom, and Brady was looking for a better grip on a cold day against the Colts in that championship game, that's why it's the biggest deal in the world. I had people tell me, no, the NFL has to control cheating like this. Cheating like this? When was the last time you heard stories like this? When was the last? How often does the NFL permeated with stories about deflated footballs? I think we touched on one not that long ago where some defender brought up there was a softball, but it went nowhere. Nobody did any investigation. It went absolutely nowhere. But with Brady, Spygate in particular, you go back, 10, 12 years, Spygate in particular bothered people. Is it going to be that we look back and say, you know what, I'll just have to respect it for what it is years later, or can we do it now? Jordan, look, Michael Jordan, never went through something like this. Sure, there were haters from a standpoint of, I want the Bulls to lose because they're playing my team. But I think we were all in unison that we were watching something really fantastic and we were watching something really remarkable. And when he left to go play baseball for that brief period of time, we didn't all say, oh man, that's great, because I hated him. We said, oh no, the greatest basketball player of all time is leaving. Right,
we had no idea he was going to come back,
and didn't have any idea he was going to come back.
Like, you know, well, hey, he dominated in basketball. Who's to say he can't do it in baseball?
And with Tom Brady, he has not had a lull. He has not disappeared. He has been in 8 straight championship games. He's been to 13. He's been, again, a postseason present every year but 2. One, he was injured. The other one was the second year in. But every year he's gotten this team in the playoffs. We talked about this earlier this week. He's played 38 postseason games. 38 postseason games.
38.
It's amazing. It's 2 extra seasons, right, of just postseason football. That's longevity. Right? There's only so many postseason games you can play. Like, you know, if you play baseball, you're in 7 game series every series you play. You could play 5 years and somebody could play 8, and you could have as many postseason games as they do. But in the NFL, it's because you're going to Super Bowls.
Yeah, and I
that you're amassing this total.
And honestly, if we look at it, one of the reasons why they've been so dominant, one of the reasons why he has been in 38 postseason games has to be because the AFC East has just been that terrible that it's, in a way, it's almost like they can't take days off. I mean, Belichick, you know, famously said no days off the last time they won the Super Bowl. But when they have an AFC East matchup, it's almost like they can play down a little bit. They don't have to go full 100%. So the road to the playoffs for them has been much easier. But it doesn't really matter if the road to the playoffs is much easier, because once you get there, you got to show up. And they've been consistently been able to do that. How many times has he been one and done in the playoffs?
Yeah, only a handful. Only a handful. There was a period of time in the late 2000s where he was maybe against Baltimore or whatnot. But that was really it. Other than that, it's hosting that first game in the divisional and getting to the AFC title game.
Yeah,
and you know, maybe not winning that. I mean, the Broncos had their share of wins against him. I know Peyton Manning beat him in Indianapolis. He had that, but that's pretty much it, right?
When you look at it,
Baltimore beat him once.
This is their 13th AFC championship. He's been in the league 17 years, and only twice he didn't make it. So that means 13 out of the 15 times he's been to the playoffs, they've been in the AFC championship.
Yeah, and it's
insane.
And also, too, look at the culture. We talk about the Patriots culture all the time, but it hasn't been repeated elsewhere. It hasn't been duplicated. A lot of it, I know, it's Belichick and the way he runs it, and a lot of coaches don't have that kind of personality. But the idea of, and I know I've told this many times, we've had stringers at Patriot games when I've been on this network a variety of times. I used to do the Sunday night show here years ago. We used to have guys at games, big Patriot games, get these Patriot guys on. They don't tell you anything. I mean, they're wasted interviews. They don't tell you anything but cliched answers. It's great to have them on, don't get me wrong, but they don't tell you anything. And guys who have played for New England, who have come out of New England, will open up and tell you that's exactly how it is. They know everything. They know what you're saying. They follow you. They know what you're going to. They don't want you repeating anything that goes on. So everything is buttoned up. Everything is quiet. You don't see that. You don't. How many times have we seen somebody in the NFL do something that draws the coach's ire, and you say, you know what, that wouldn't even have been a problem in New England. He wouldn't even gotten that cell phone out in the first place in that meeting, or he wouldn't have said those comments to the media in the first place.
Not only that, but how many troubled players have we seen? You know, whether it was like a Randy Moss or this year Josh Gordon, right? Who go there and we say, you know what? Yeah, that's the team that can turn him around. And if he can't make it with that team, then he's not going to make it anywhere.
He's not going to make it anywhere.
I mean, Randy Moss was, you know, one of the most outspoken athletes, you know, the league has ever seen. And one of the great, great wide receivers the league has ever seen. When he got to the Patriots, you never heard a peep out of him.
Never heard of a peep from him. And I was so thankful the Patriots had him, because I like Randy Moss. I I wasn't angered when he mooned the fans. I like Randy Moss, and he disappeared when he was in Oakland, right? He wasn't playing well, but then he blossoms, but he blossoms in a different way. He's not doing crazy stuff. He's not saying things. He's within the system. It was business, and he caught all those touchdowns with Brady that year. They went 16-0.
It's almost like they all go through hypnosis. Like day one is hypnosis, and then you're just taught the Patriot way, and then you don't act. I mean, that's why it's always been strange for us to kind of look at it. It's like, man, why is Gronk allowed to do this? Gronk has been out of the entire culture of the Patriots and the Bill Belichick area. Gronk has been the one player that you're like, wow, okay, you're allowed to.
He's having a booze cruise, right? And he's he's dancing on the Super Bowl night. I mean, he's right.
I mean, why am I forgetting the guy's the wide receiver had a Spaceballs helmet? Wes Welker.
Wes Welker, yeah.
You know, Wes Welker with the Patriots, you never heard of him. When he got to the Broncos, you started to say, okay, you know, Wes Welker does have a voice.
Yeah.
You started talking.
It's remarkable. And it's a remarkable culture. And it has worked because we've never seen anything like this. I mean, this is really unbelievable. But I wonder if people, does Brady have this perfect storm of things with him that makes people not like him, right? Right. I mean, whether it's the supermodel wife or whether it's the playing for a region of the country that's had a lot of success in sports, part mostly because of him, pretty boy, right? All of these things. He's not an aw shucks Peyton Manning kind of guy. You don't feel like you could have a beer with Brady. It feels like if Brady sat down with you, he'd be more uncomfortable, not from a snobby way, but just he doesn't feel like he's approachable. Whereas Manning is like making jokes and appearing on Saturday Night Live. But that's neither here nor there. I mean, what is amazing about the longevity of what this guy has been able to do, the consistency of never dropping off, is something to be admired. Whether you don't want him to win at all, that's understandable. I get it. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people rooting for the Chiefs because they're tired of the Patriots in the Super Bowls. It will be three straight if they win, and good Lord, the ninth time they have gone to the game for Brady and Belichick, the 11th time they've gone to overall, but. Don't deny the greatness. I mean, don't deny what is occurring. I mean, it is something to behold. I mean, really, he's 41 years old, man.
That's the part that, I mean, career is supposed to decline.
Really?
You're not even supposed to be playing when you're 40. I mean, unless you're a kicker. That was always the thing. That was always the rule. If you're a kicker, yeah, you can play a long time because you don't really play that much. So you're not, and you don't really take hits. And you're just pretty much, as long as you still got a leg that you can put it through the upright, you're fine.
Yep.
About quarterback position, which is, you know, arguably probably the hardest position to play. And let's face it. I mean, Brady has definitely he definitely takes hits. He's going to take a whole bunch of them this Sunday. And he's just going to bounce right back up and keep going.
And that's, you know, you hear this time and time again of teams who have played them and said, man, he just takes it and gets right back up. When you can get to him, when you can get it to him, he still gets up and slings it. It's so we'll see again, Arctic temperatures. That's always the caveat of what is going to occur this Sunday with Chiefs Patriots. 800-777-2907. The telephone number, it's Tony D, Ron Culver. It's SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Let me give you my show philosophy real quick. I'm going to give you the sports of the day. I'm going to give you my sports takes. I'll do a little pop culture. Maybe I'll tell you about a great movie I saw or a great TV show. We'll have some fun with some entertainment. I don't do politics. I don't try to infuse politics into the show. Only when it relates to sports and I need to take a sports take out of something political. Like if Congress is doing something with steroids or Congress is trying to get the NCAA to do something or whatever, then of course I'll branch out. But you won't hear me talk about the government shutdown or anything about Trump or any, you know, Schumer, Pelosi. You won't hear me do that. However, I do want to make a comment about this meme with Trevor Lawrence that is floating out there, where the Clemson quarterback was quoted as saying this about the fast food at the White House. President Trump got all our favorite foods. It was the best meal we ever had. Then we go see the coastal elite media trashing it for not being organic vegan. We're football players, not bloggers. It was a perfect blue collar party. If you fell for that, you're a dummy. I mean, you are a dummy. If you posted thinking that the quarterback at Clemson spoke like that, you really have to pay attention to what's going on. He is not that kind of quarterback. He does not talk in this language. This is so silly that we had a football team go to the White House. Again, I don't care who the president of the United States is. I can't believe we still in this country are so petty over politics that we had a football team go to the White House, had some fast food, had some fun, met with the president, whoever that president is. It does not matter. It is, you go to the White House and, you know, it's the president's honoring you, and we have people making memes, making the quarterback at Clemson, who hardly says anything, talking about coastal elite media as a 19-year-old kid.
Yeah, they better not be talking bad about the future Chargers quarterback.
Right, exactly. You are a dummy if you buy this. I'm not kidding. You are a dummy if you bought that he said this and used this language.
No, what we need to be focusing on is the fact that Burger King doesn't know how to spell hamburger.
Yeah, well, well, Trump didn't spell it right, and then Burger King said, we're all out of hamburgers, we have hamburgers, which I thought was cute. This spread looked good, though. Look, hey. I'm not a political guy. You won't hear me go either way, but I got to be honest with you. I tried not to go to fast food. I know what it can do to me, but if you gave me the opportunity to have a smorgasbord fast food one day, I'd love it completely.
Except for that Filet-O-Fish. Get that crap
now,
out
get
of
the
there.
Filet-O-Fish out of there.
Nobody wants
I don't need that. But if you gave me an opportunity to gorge on as many of these burgers as I could just for one day of fun and hilarity, I would love the opportunity to do that. With no judgment? Are you kidding? Two Big Macs and a Whopper with a presidential cup of fries and nobody judging me? Oh, love it. I would absolutely love it. So that must have been fun, Clemson. It must have been fun. SB Nation AM.